Ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in video games from the Far East, let me introduce to you the number one gaijin, the man from Japan who can.
And we're back. We're recording again.
Hey!
I'm not making any mistakes today.
Well, would you like to explain?
Well,
I also find it funny that yesterday's podcast, what I mean by that will become apparent, started off with you apologising for something.
Yeah. It's the circle of life, I'm afraid. I think we might actually patch in the 5 minutes that I spent apologising to you yesterday for the screw-up at the start of this podcast, although I don't know how exciting that would be. Basically, we recorded for
when I logged onto Skype, it just came up and said, sorry. You're just a little pop-up menu that you left just said, sorry. So this is... Alex has been a bad man.
I have. Oh, so this is Alex, and that's Darren talking.
Hi, I'm Darren. The other one is Alex.
Yeah.
You might sense shame in his voice. You might be able to recognise him from the sheer amount of shame and humble pie that you hear coming out of his mouth.
Yes, I'm spewing humble pie today. Because yesterday we were going to put this podcast up in a timely fashion. And we recorded what I would say one of our best podcasts.
Yeah.
For a good hour and a half. And the thing was, it worked really well because I surprised Aaron with some ideas and we roll with them and we extemporized.
You can see where this is going, can't you?
And I didn't record any of it. Not a word. So
We were really pleased.
We were very happy, fired up.
And then at the end, you just said, and because I've known you for so long, Alex, you just said, oh no. And I knew exactly what had happened.
I thought you might.
So I'm going to take a bit of a backseat. You know, when someone's been bad and you can kind of really sort of string that out for a little bit, I'm going to try and do that. So I'm just having my lunch, Alex, so if you just want to introduce podcast number...
There's no number. Don't go number.
I can't. I don't need to say sorry for that because you've done much worse things.
I have done much worse things.
Yeah. But here we are again for Doofus.
Doofus. Probably going up on the 11th of December 2008, but can't guarantee that. It might be the 12th. But as I said, it's bi-monthly. I think we got a couple of days leeway either way. And we're back again, having tried yesterday and failed. Now, before we start, I'm going to do the apologising that I did yesterday again. Even more humble pie. Well, since we're in the kind of the mood...
You're feeling Catholic, huh?
I am. It's my father coming out of me, if you'll forgive the expression. we've got... last week I made a few... last podcast, I made a few mistakes. Factual errors regarding...
Not the one you didn't record, the one before that.
Yeah, not the one I didn't record, the one before that. One of which was my insistence that nobody had any clue when Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix was coming out.
And then it came out the next day.
Only for it to be posted. Only for it to come out the day after you posted the podcast.
I remember you texting me saying that you were playing it. I was like, wait a minute, didn't you? Never mind.
Well, I do have an excuse, and that is that it isn't out in Japan still. I had to use my English account to download it. So it's not a very good excuse, because considering what I'm trying to do with the blog. Doofus.net is the blog.
Doofus.net.
You'd think I'd try and be at least up to date with these things.
You were trying, but I'd say that accuracy is not the strong suit of Doofus. It's more in sort of passion, enthusiasm, and... coming at things from left of field.
Yes, right. Inaccurately, if what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. We brush that one under the carpet. We're never going to manage that.
Yeah. While we're on my inaccuracies, I also stated last week that Mirror's Edge was better. Wasn't the word it was developed. Was I think was the word I used for the PS3, which meant it would probably be technically superior on the PS3, because generally...
That's what I was led to believe as well.
Yeah, generally, I think it was what has been said, but I've been listening to things around the place, and it seems that, in fact, what's happened is that on the PS3 version, there's no anti-aliasing, so it looks a bit more jagged, and the colours aren't quite as vivid.
As on the Xbox.
As on the Xbox, yes. The Xbox has a few more technical tweaks. But it handles better on the PS3. The pad is apparently a lot better for it. And
yes,
they do get some free downloadable content to come January that the Xbox users won't be getting. So I don't feel completely guilty about that.
This is the time trial pack, isn't it?
I think the time trial pack is for both. I think there's an extra map that's specifically just for PlayStation 3 users.
Well, lovely
dog. Yeah. How lovely is that? Which I know you're very excited about, but EA is currently apologising for not amazing sales and are blaming a low Metascore critic,
Metacricket score. Yeah, it was all day washout. They're going to change the rules to 2020.
Yes, but. Was there anything else I had to apologise for? Oh, that was it. I remember. And I think we got round that one this week, which was...
I nearly finished my sandwich and all these apologies you're making.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd give you time to eat. Last week, we made the podcast a little bit... Well, we recorded first, and then over the weekend, Darren made the music, and I patched it in after. And
yeah, the brilliant theme music I've heard just recently.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but because I didn't know the kind of tone the music established, I started off a bit seriously. And when I put it all together, I
think it's very funny. If you've got it, just go back, listen to the first 30 seconds. Just basically what the first line Alex says after the ridiculous chorus of music at the start.
Yeah,
you're very serious.
I am very serious, and maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit unnerving for the people listening. Jarring, you might say, for
yeah.
the kind of change of pace. So.
Well, I was thinking that because I'd made stupid music, that it makes the whole podcast seem lighter, because you know you can only take it so seriously when you know that I'm going to put ridiculous jingles in it.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's...
So it's lighten the whole thing.
It's going to help. But for last... week's podcast, the first, last podcast, not last week's, the last podcast, the one that went on iTunes, a little bit strange, but lovely nonetheless. Oh, and also, not this isn't the apology.
Well, you've been apologising for 16 minutes.
Have I? This isn't the apology now. This is, we're listed as explicit on iTunes because I can't turn it off in the editor I've got. So...
Might as well make the most of it, eh?
Might as well make the most
of it. Hey, when you didn't record the podcast yesterday,
yes.
You shouted cunt rags.
You're editing this one, I don't care. Do as you see fit, sir.
You said it,
But yeah, we are free to do what we like, because I don't know how to stop us being explicit on iTunes. So...
So I think it's for the best.
That's why it says explicit, not because...
You should just say sorry in little red writing with a box around it.
That would be better, actually. the other problem is today is lacking some of the colour of yesterday's podcast as well, because my dog, Hannah-chan, isn't eating poo while we speak.
No, your dog ate its own poo and then proceeded to eat a plastic bottle noisily in the background while you talk about video game theory. Which, again, just completely belittles everything you were saying.
Okay, so on to the actual podcast, I suppose. The games. There's nothing to talk about on Doofus.net. So, what have you been playing, Dan? Not like I don't know, because you told me yesterday, but for everyone else. Darren?
What a lovely sandwich that was.
Did you hear what I said, Darren?
I went to put my sandwich away.
Yeah, I know. You do that. I said, although I know what you've been playing, how about you tell everyone listening what you've been playing?
See, this is extremely scripted because we've already done all this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on the one which I enjoyed saying the most yesterday, which was I've been trying to find a good iPhone game.
Yes. You didn't mention
that. I mean, there's reams. It should be exciting.
It should be.
Every single week, it's get updated. There's free games. It has a sense of the kind of Amiga time when you get kind of like games on computer game magazine covers and shareware and all of that. It has that kind of flavor about it.
The Main, that's what it was called. I was trying to remember yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, PD stuff, yeah. Which I love. There was lots of great stuff out there, but why is it all shit on the iPhone? It's terrible. They're all either sort of pushing blocks puzzle games or games that just should not be on a single screen, one touch interface
two-touch
machine.
It's multi-touch. No, let's not do it down here. Yeah,
has that on the video. Well, there's... Basically, there's this game called Cube, which I think we... Did we discuss it runs on the Quake engine?
I think it... Isn't it just a port of Quake? I mean, where are we?
No, it's not a direct port of Quake.
There is a direct port. It is out there. But okay, there's something that runs on the Quake engine.
Right, okay. Well, the problem is that basically, in order to move forward in this, you tilt the iPhone forward. This isn't unusual in the iPhone world, but... If you're using a first-person shooter, which is quite an abstract game mechanism anyway, tilting it forward to walk forward is just brain-melting. What are you doing? You're leaning your body forward, you're looking down to walk forward? It just does my head in.
Well, this was something that surprised me. Yes, I mean, I asked you this yesterday, and we're going to do it again.
I'm going to play dumb
for a lot of this. I haven't had this discussion already. But I just kind of assume that you'd be able to configure it, calibrate it, to whatever angle you wanted to be flat. But you told me that it's kind of a 45-degree
angle. So just imagine... Imagine being sat in a bus, looking down at your iPhone, sort of in your lap, so pointing directly up at you, 45 degrees, that is zero. Tilt forward, so it's flat, you walk forward. Tilt so it faces your body, so you can't see it. You walk backwards.
Well, you either can't see it or you look like a fool on the bus. I mean, it goes one or two ways, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like trying to see the reflection of a mirror in another mirror or something like that, where absurdly confusing. So, what I'm coming back to is that I'm convinced the iPhone is a good platform because it's not that far removed from a DS, surely.
And it's got amazing, not amazing. It's got such a total kind of penetration.
The word that exactly.
But just the number of people that are using it. I mean, it's going to be fantastic for things like PopCap games, those kind of casual games that mums play and. That can be incredibly good. I mean, things like Peggle and Bejeweled that just take off and are incredibly addictive for those short kind of bursts. But is there nothing like that on it? I mean,
There seems to be a lot of people who are using the you know, because it's a powerful 3D thing. Mm-hmm. There's lots of
tilt-to-steer
games.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's better than DS. I'm pretty sure it's on a par, or maybe even better than PSP in terms of the hardware.
In terms of the graphics that it can do,
I may be
wrong. I'd see it's just under the PSP in terms of what I've seen, but you know, it's a powerful thing. I'm sure it can be pushed. but yeah, there's a huge shortage of iPhone games that I want to play.
I believe Peggle is coming out for it, and Peggle's one of those. I think it's made by Valve. That's incredibly addictive kind of quick burst plays that would be fantastic for kind of
That's good. Well, I wouldn't even like something like there is one that I'm going to give a test drive. I'll let you know next week, which is it's in the vein of Hotel Dusk, which you talked about last week, and I kind of think that kind of thing would be great on the iPhone as well. Being able to dip in and out of it would be great,
especially if you probably have full audio on it. I mean, I heard that there was a very
exactly
kind of,
yeah,
I heard there was a kind of radio play one on it that was meant to be fairly good. That, like, you
yes, I heard that as well. I've completely failed to find it. I was quite excited by that kind of adventure element of it. Obviously, you tend to immerse yourself in your iPhone anyway because it is an iPod. You know, you might have your headphones with you and use it on transport like that. So I'll be up for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So my quest continues. I will keep you updated. But I've also been playing Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which is neither relevant... nor quite contemporary.
This is my least favourite setting of the franchise. I love the music, but apart from that, I just I don't.
What is it you like least about the Vice?
The amount. I really don't like it when you like run onto the beach and just the setting just feels a bit kind of pink. I mean, in a weird way. I just mean the color, even the palette alone, it just kind of is off-putting to me.
It's all flamingos and lens flare and party shirts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even that I like my games to be that kind of gunmetal grey and dirt brown, but there's something about. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but French movies make me feel queasy. Just the kind of colour palettes that most of them use. And just the cinematography, and I get the same kind of effect from
French movies.
A lot of French
movies. Did that make you feel good?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
I know what you mean. But rich, sort of glutinous colours.
Yeah.
Often kind of vignetting, but sort of blurriness around the edges.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of blurriness in Vice City.
Yeah.
I've been doing is basically not playing the game at all. And I'm pretty sure this is acceptable and approved, but I just have no interest in doing any of the missions. I literally just try and smash things up and kill as many police officers as possible. Do you know how you're supposed to get over 2 or 3 police points? Because basically that's what I decided I was going to do. I was trying to get 5 police stars. I spent 2 hours doing it. I couldn't get more than 3. What do you have to do? I like killed, was shooting them in the head, running over them with my car, running over their bodies with my car.
I find the most effective way is rocket launch to the helicopter. That gets their interest.
Ah! Wow, what the hell is to? Well, that's what I'm going to try and do that again tonight.
Okay.
So, iPhone and an old Grand Theft Auto. I'll bring it up in the news. I've got some news as well.
Okay. Oh, yes. Again, feigning ignorance. So what have I been playing?
It's called scripting, Alex. Yeah. We've been forced to do it by the fact we're doing it all again.
Yes. I've been playing Left 4 Dead, and I complained about this yesterday. I've been playing mostly single player, which I can see the brilliance, but it really does lose something. I mean, I've played a couple of levels 2 or 3 times, and the big thing about it is the AI director, which is essentially... You get thousands of hordes of zombies that come at you as zombies should come at you, head-on, straight at you. But where they spawn, when they come, changes every time, thanks to the AI director. It makes for a lot of replay value, but playing it by yourself, there's only so many times you can do it. And I don't have too many friends on live, and I am...
I'm not a friend anymore, I'm merely a colleague.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't have too many friends on Xbox Live, and even the ones that are tend to live different gaming hours to me. So I think I've run into one person once since I bought the game, and even then I turned it off soon after because I had to come and do this podcast.
Yay!
But that's looking like a lot of fun. There goes.
But it's making you crave the 2-player aspect, I suppose. That's kind of that.
4-player. It's making me crave 4-player.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, and another thing that would possibly make you crave playing 2-player would possibly be playing Street Fighter. Oh, you didn't do that yesterday.
I bought it today for the podcast.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is that like a little keyring chain thing?
Yeah, that was actually very lucky. That's the one it does every like 50 pushes. Normally it just does this.
So, that is amazing! And pointless. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's the Ken one. But yes, Street Fighter HD, and there's something that I have been playing online, because you don't need friends to do that. You need enemies.
Yeah,
and I
fine.
Made a lot of enemies.
So are you good? I've heard it's hard.
Level
hard.
I was about to say I was talking about this yesterday, but I suppose that goes without saying.
Got to stop doing that.
It's balance. The balances have changed, and as I was most familiar with Super Street Fighter, not Super Street Fighter Turbo.
Yes.
On the Super Nintendo, I'm not. Some of the changes I'm not as aware of, and some of them seem bigger than I expected. Some of the moves handle a bit differently.
Where's the speed? How do you get on with the top speed? Because I'm like you, I'm kind of not so familiar with the really high speed Street Fighters.
This one's okay. I mean, if you remember, there was Street Fighter Turbo, which you could enter the cheat.
Yes, I remember.
And then went up to...
Move your style so ridiculously.
8-speed that people insisted on playing and gave me, again, a headache. But Super Street Fighter toned it back to 3 stars. And this goes up to 4.
Okay.
And it's a nice... I find it a nice speed. And it's actually very helpful because they've upscaled the graphics, made them beautiful anime style. Not that I disliked the old 16-bit, but it is nice to see them in not looking quite so pixelated on my HD TV.
But still the same amount of animation frames.
Same amount of animation frames.
Essential to the game mechanic, I suppose, with connecting with moves and such like.
For tournament play, especially.
Yeah.
But then when you look at it all running at the lower speed, you notice even more clearly the lack of animation.
It's suddenly Ryo was upside down when previously he was perfectly upright. Yeah.
That said, you don't notice when you're actually involved in a game. It's more when you kind of sit back and go, let's see how this actually looks, that it all kind of clicks in. But when you get immersed, and especially when you're actually having a fight with somebody real online, it turns a lot more abstract in your head anyway. You just see the kind of colours, really, more than you see the sprites. So it works very nicely. And I'm sure, when you consider that this has been balanced for tournament play, and it's been designed by people, and people have been discussed who are very heavily into the Street Fighter scene, to a level that I don't pretend to understand, it is probably a better way to be able to spectate rather than watching the old sprites and the old backgrounds, the kind of HD pretty stuff. Would be a lot better.
I think I'd probably really enjoy that. I'm sure that's going to happen in my life soon. I'm going to play that
It is very good. I mean, I've been playing online a lot, and I've bumped into a couple of people. The guy who plays Akuma, there's no chance he's listening to this podcast, but if he is, you're a bastard, because playing the most powerful character online is just unfair. But that said, Akuma is more balanced than he used to be. And all those people who disconnect, also bastards. Disconnect after.
What do you mean? Do you mean do they end the game before the end?
They wrench out their connection if I win. I've had 2 or 3 people do that now.
Does that mean that it doesn't log their score? Is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah, it counts as unfinished and doesn't count.
Oh my god.
But I'm not even that good. Scum. So those people must be unplugging their Xbox a lot. Because I'm not good enough that I'm going out there and beating everyone. So these
might have some mechanism sort of tied around their big toe or something like that, and they just sort of yank their foot back.
But then they've got to go and put it back in because...
it's fine. Their reputation counts more than their effort to put it in.
Well...
That's what it means to them, little nerds.
I'm evidently far more lazy than those people.
You don't mind.
The other game I've been playing is Chrono Trigger on my DS, which I'm enjoying.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
Very exciting. How's it going?
It's going well. I never played the original. I should prefix with that. I wanted to, but I just...
Am I right?
It was at a time that I couldn't afford it in my life, because I got one game every, like, 3 months, and I had Secret of Mana, and I had Zelda, and I wanted... something with shooting. So I got Cybernator, and I don't regret that choice at all, but I'm playing it again.
Are you going to review it when you finish?
I will. But
excellent.
That brings us on to something else that will be changing on the site. In fact, no, we'll leave that for later. Yeah. We'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
Because I think we should go into news.
News!
News!
Broadcasting on Skype.
Okay, everybody. Down to 5.
Come on, people,
the state of the Japanese gaming scene.
Virtual console.
Versus a tree.
And the Nintendo DS.
How the Xbox perform.
Nintendo.
Buttocks.
Mom, I'm scared.
Do this. News.
Yes. So, let's start with the fun news. Koreans are getting... Koreans are turning into Master Chief from Halo.
Yes. This is not so much video game news, more as a warning.
Well, it's more fun. I mean, it's the kind of feeding back of video games into the real world.
Into real gun-killing bastard people. Yeah.
Like Star Trek invented sliding doors. I mean, this is where this is coming from, really.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it the South Koreans, North Koreans? You looked this up on Gizmondo?
Yeah, it's South Korea. Yeah, South Korea. We don't know what North Korea are doing. They probably... just made sort of some really, really huge robots that spray foam on everybody.
That's the Japanese. They've actually started their two-legged walking mech thing. That those exist already.
Yeah, I've seen that on Wired, yeah.
But these Korean suits, that they are for infantry.
It's Halo, basically. It looks like Halo.
Well, let's not exaggerate. It looks like a man wearing a fishing jacket, a motorcycle helmet,
with a motorcycle helmet.
Silver.
You remember those Nerf guns? Those ones that fired foam? Looks like one of those.
Does look like
but it could all kill you.
It could
a lot.
Kill you. But according to some of the statistics, that's not the word I'm looking for, is it? What's the word I'm looking for?
You're looking for
specs.
Yes.
Yeah. According to some of the specs, these people have mine and chemical weapon detection built into their backpacks. They also have laser and explosive repulsion built in, as well as invisibility.
Hold on, what?
It's got like mirror style camo built in, like in the James Bond movie with that car that kind of takes.
I know, but that's not real, is it? What?
I'm just going. This was on MSN. They are a far more reliable source than Doofus.
This is very important news. We've got. This is the most important news of the day.
Well,
you can keep your Woolworths combust. And
I've heard about that already. Yes.
Well, exactly, and. That's coming up on news. But I mean, it is. I've been thinking about this, and because of the sheer sci-fi friendliness and the Halo compatibility, that I think, and also possibly the large amount of kind of technological advancements coming out of South Korea at the moment, basically that means there's a lot of nerds. Am I right?
Yeah.
Nerds. And nerds like to play first-person shooters online. They like to perhaps we use the word badass in representing themselves. And I think that basically Halo and all first-person shooters is kind of like a recruitment program for the South Korean army.
Well,
is that inflammatory?
They did this incredibly unsubtly with America's Army. You remember Ubisoft?
Yes.
To make this game that would get people to learn squad-based tactics and
There's a little bit of that over here as well with joining the Navy and the Army adverts. There's a bit of video game crossover.
Okay.
If you get to use a HUD in real life, then you know there'll be some nerds signing up.
Yeah. So that's basically. I mean, that's looking very much the way this is going. It's kind of this. We're going to turn you into a super soldier. So come and join our military.
Even though you might have no social skills and perhaps not be able to lift a bread knife.
I don't think it would matter in this outfit. I'm looking at it now. It looks like...
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You just need someone with lightning-fast thumb reflexes and, you know, a stupid kind of techie call sign.
I've just thought what this photo really reminds me of. I know we said Halo, but what it really reminds me of, because it's all grayscale, so it looks like an unpainted Games Workshop toy.
One of the lead ones that children would suck and be in the newspaper for getting brain damage.
That's what it looks like to me now.
Maybe it just is. You probably see it in a video game store.
That's true. Maybe
what would they do if just nerds took over the prevailing armies?
They could aim the
jocks.
They could do in this thing, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They just employ sort of just attractive women, potentially like 2 or 3 years older than the nerds. They wouldn't know what to do. They just collapse inside themselves with shyness.
Yes. That would get them. No problem.
Yeah.
Sorted. So, we just remarked on Woolworth's closure, which I'm aware of.
Do we do any news?
What?
We do any news?
Real news?
I suppose Woolworth sold computer games, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, Woolworth has gone into receivership. And so have the company that that Woolworths belong to, who distribute video games, books and CDs to most of the supermarkets in Great Britain. So therefore, there is genuine problems with shipping video games this Christmas to your sort of Tesco's, Asda outlets. So, you know, could be dramatic, and, you know, Woolworths, it'd be sad if that went under, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that, like,
for our non-British listeners, would you like to explain what Woolworths sells?
There's Woolworths in America also, but it's very different to the British one. Woolworths in the UK sells children's clothes, most of which lie on the floor, pick and mix, toys.
Very thin CDs. Like, their CDs are thinner than most CDs.
Yeah. Toys, which on racks that are mostly empty, just one or two toys lying around.
Yeah, they're on the floor. Mm. People have just booted them around a bit.
And bargain bin singles. Music singles.
Yes, yeah, with all of the case cracked along the edge.
And games with stickers advertising their price far too big across the front of the box.
Yes, so it kind of puts you off. Yeah, and then you have to go to the desk, and then they look for ages in a big drawer, and they tell you they can't find it.
If you're lucky, like me, they give you the Mega Drive cartridge rather than the SNES one, and you have to go back.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah, it did. NBA Jam.
Yeah, it was just to get confused with Amiga discs as well. And they'd either not give you all of the discs.
That seems more understandable to me, because you can't actually fit the Mega Drive thing doesn't fit very snugly into that SNES box.
Yeah, did they force it in there?
No, it was too small. It kind of just rattled around. That's how I spotted it before I actually got to my house and returned. But
My nostalgia is limited, basically. British institution it may be, but it's fucking shit, and I'm glad it's gone.
But it did define what a town was, because cities are cathedrals and Woolies are towns.
That's how you know a town is a town. We decided this when we were younger. You know, you'd have those definitions of, you know, population and such like. You can't check that, you know, off the cuff if you're in a, you know, a strange new place. See a Woolies, it's a town. Yeah. That's how you know. It's the cathedral of commerce.
Yeah, this links back, in fact, to a bigger point, though, really, and that is that the economy is going arse over tit, and the economy is fucked.
Yeah, how's the Dow Jones, Alex?
I got no clue. All I know is that when you visited me, 5 months ago, £1 was worth 240 yen, so you were broke. Now, if you were to visit me, £1...
Spent all my money on shit.
No, so you were rich, sorry. And then, if you came to me now, £1 is worth 130 yen, which means you would be broke.
130? Oh,
almost a 50% drop in the value of the pound against Japanese products. So now is not the time to buy anything Japanese. Sony and Nintendo are losing money like you wouldn't believe. And although they're reaching sales targets, they're having to readjust their actual profit projected profits for the year.
Because they've had to adjust them because of all the balls, the money balls.
Well,
money is
they're making the same money in each country. It's just not worth as much where they want it, which is Japan. So it's all screwed.
That ain't no good. That ain't no good.
It isn't any good. And I mean, no. Of course, it's had the other effect. I mean, I was looking today. Gama Sutra had an article today, or yesterday rather, on sales, and it seems that in America they had just after Thanksgiving they have Black Friday. Yes, Black Friday, and in Black Friday weekend, we sold 800,000 units, about, which is as many as Xbox sold for the month of November, which is the big shopping period. And then PlayStation 3 sold about half that at 400,000. And I think, because the PlayStation 3 has become a far more attractive prospect recently to most people's minds. But it's just
certainly mine.
But it's just twice as much money and nobody can afford it.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to buy it. Don't be stupid, but I do want one. Wanting and buying it.
Really bad time to try and push.
I can't believe they haven't caved, but I suppose they have to stick to their guns, really. So, do you find yourself adjusting to the deep recession? In fact, I heard on the news...
I'm in Japan, Darren.
I've heard that Japan's going to go into a very deep recession now.
It will. That said,
gloomy.
As I pointed out before, multiples of zero are zero. I pointed this out to everybody, and as I have zero, a multiple of that is still zero, and I'm not losing or gaining anything in that equation.
Do you think you're going to go into an emotional recession, Alex? A moral recession?
Maybe moral.
Moral recession. Morally. The moral downturn. Starring Alex.
Looking forward to it.
Start showing people your genitalia in the street and sort of not
that's
wiping.
Pretty common. I saw somebody doing that the other day in Japan, because you can men pee in the street quite openly. There's no kind of...
There you go, there's the moral downturn.
That's been going on for ages. I think if we're going for sexual areas, the moral downturn will be pretty hard to spot.
Sexual downturn.
Or in some areas of Japan, hard to see. The other thing, or one other little bit of news that I spotted that I was kind of exciting to me. You remember Castle Crashers, the game that I...
Yes, the cartoon-style beat-em-up.
Yeah, retails for about £8 on Xbox
Live.
Yeah,
an indie game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same as Street Fighter HD. It's top of the charts in Japan. It's the top
there. Hey, wow!
Game, which is, yeah, it is a big wow, actually. I mean, it's been out for... 5 months?
2 months, maybe?
No, 5 months.
Oh, wow, long time.
A long time. And it's American, and it's just not the thing.
And you met the people who made it.
I did.
You met them at TGS.
But it's a game that you wouldn't not expect to sell well in Japan, but it's on Xbox, and it's American, and there's all the other things on there that aren't selling. That said, Street Fighter 2 HD isn't even out over here, so... I don't know what's going on there, but it's now at top of the charts, which I'm really glad to see, because it's a great game, and well worth downloading if you haven't already, I would say.
That's hey, it. I've got some news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can say this, because then they're not going to listen, but and this is new. You didn't hear this yesterday. My girlfriend's mum hinted that she might be buying us a Wii for Christmas, which would mean that I'd have a Wii. I wouldn't not have a Wii. I'd have a Wii. It'd be different. Life would be better.
Different.
Yeah.
What would you buy for your Wii, Darren?
I don't know.
Mario Galaxy. That's
Shinobi 3 on Virtual Console.
Yeah. Good choice.
You already got it.
You're going to need an extra hard drive, because all you're going to want to do is buy Virtual Console games.
Yeah, basically, if you're new to Doofus, then I'm a kind of commercially stick in the grump.
What not?
Stick in the mud. About computer gaming, I'm very firmly in the 16-bit era. But I probably would be interested in getting Capcom versus Tatsunoko. I'm very excited by that. Because I think that's going to come out over here.
Thursday?
Oh, you cuntbag.
Using that explicitly. Yeah. But what's your news, Darren? What's the big news that you hinted at earlier? You can't leave everybody hanging. It's your time to talk.
Do you mean the evil news?
It is the evil news.
Yeah. Well, okay, this goes into more... This is 16-bit news! 16-bit news! Okay, I really, really wanted to buy a multi-mega.
In fact, what you did buy a multi-mega.
I did buy a multi-mega. Yes, you're right, I did. I did buy a multi-mega. I did. I entered into a contract to buy one on eBay off a gentleman in Hong Kong who then decided to shaft me with... He didn't send it. He took my money. He didn't reply to any of my little eBay mails. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I think it was like 3 weeks. And then he didn't reply some more. And and then I found some negative feedback amongst all of the good stuff that's probably just his family, and I got my money back and stuff. But I was celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Mega Drive.
Yes.
And the day that we did our Mega Drive podcast,
which is not iTunes, go to the website,
Doofus. Yeah, it's all on there, doofus.net. I bought it as a celebration. I said I would, and I did, and I don't lie. But I've been denied the multi mega. So, my quest goes on. There's not one on there at the moment. Should I name and shame him?
Yes.
Yes. Cherry fans. Cherry fans.
I love that. He picked it
himself. Self-blind, yeah. Cherry fans. Yeah, he's a penis and a charlatan
and
rancid twat. And I wouldn't trust him.
No, I wouldn't touch him with yours.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't even know how that works in this situation.
You were holding my willy, and we were in the same room as him. You wouldn't touch me with my willy. Touch him with my willy.
Because you're not double-jointed. Yes. So, that's the end of news. I think it's just
it really is, isn't it? And finally, that is the end, finally. So we've got a magazine article sort of... to culminate with the podcast?
Oh, well, this is the change of direction Doofus is going to take in the new year. I'm going to finish off this year because I got a small backlog of articles, and I'm going to write a few reviews. But then Doofus is going to take this kind of spiritual shift away from keeping up with news so much, and keep apart from our discussions about it, and keeping up with games.
Yeah, bullies and the Korean military.
Frankly, the financially, it's killing me keeping up with the games. This didn't help this year, unless there's a big game that I obviously want to talk about. And news, or like, I can never really put news up to date.
Oh my god, what was that? Was that the news?
No, that was the dog pooing again.
The dog pooed?
Yeah.
And finally.
It's going to become a feature, I think.
Just going to keep going as professional.
I would love to.
Animal has pooed in the same room that you are podcasting from, and you're continuing. I admire that.
Yes, I'm doing my best. and there, Mickey took it away. I can't keep up with news on the site, because anything I report just comes later. And unless there's something I particularly have an opinion on that it's worth me giving my comment on, it just seems like I'm playing keep up, and things go wrong, like with the Biohazard debacle, which I posted, and in fact it's not so bad for the UK, because maybe they didn't know Biohazard was out, but in Japan and America the Biohazard demo came out, but it didn't.
What you're trying to say is that you've got more to offer than just pure video game reviews,
yes,
isn't it?
I'm going to shift into a more kind of discussion about bigger topics in video games.
Yeah, some more cerebral, broader, conceptual. Inviting more people to talk as well, more of a discussion topic.
Definitely.
Than just
always
a straight
always
opinion.
Always want people to comment.
Yeah.
That's something else that I've got to talk about, actually.
I'm going to check if someone's commented on us on iTunes.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Now, so what we're doing is we're going to be moving away from that and into these more kind of broader spiritual might be the wrong word in that respect, but topics.
No more religion.
Broader topics about concepts and ideas in the gaming world. And deeper discussion. But that will obviously mean a departure from the 150-word format that I have been rigidly sticking to up to now.
So you're going to set yourself a number of words roof now, rather than
yes,
an exact number?
Well,
I mean, is that going to be?
500.
500? Oh, nice.
And even that might be a little bit flexible if I get up to like 520 and really want to keep everything in. But my first topic that I want to write about is something that's been playing on my mind a little bit recently, which is why you play games, the motivation to play. So I'm going to ask you that, Darren, and I'd like to try and pretend like you've never heard that question before, like you have.
Okay, I can do that. So what the question is...
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom... Why do I play games?
Yes.
Is it... I'm going to go for fun. I play games for fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bar that being an incredibly kind of...
Is that a cop-out?
It is a cop-out.
Sorry, okay.
More than it being a cop-out, it's just... not only is it a subjective term... Everybody has different definitions of fun.
Obviously, yeah, like that man who showed his willy to you in the street the other day.
Indeed. But also, fun is a result. I had fun. I'm having fun. But it's not why it's happening, if you see what I mean. Like, I have fun when I go to karaoke because I'm with friends and I'm singing and I get drunk. Not because it karaoke in itself is fun. Because if you go sober without friends, you'll find it isn't fun at all.
Indeed, it's not. Conceptually, it's not a fun idea, is it? Which is why most people are quite anti-karaoke.
And why why it's so hard to get a band together for a rock band. Because you're
always a
singer.
Yeah, no one wants to do that, do they? Yeah. But then they really do.
Once
they drop as soon as they get a bottle of white wine down them. Okay, I'm going to try this one then. Dum, 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 dum. I'm going to say that it's something, it's an experience, video game is an experience, first of all, born out of escapism and nostalgia.
Okay.
Because it's something that we've all done growing up.
Okay. And well, that works for us. I like escapism. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and nostalgia certainly applies.
Going back to what I was saying about Grand Theft Auto earlier on, the way I play games, and I'm sure this is different for different people, I don't really play it for the challenge as such, but I play it for the immersive excitement or enjoyment.
Okay.
So that sense of going to another place, losing yourself for a moment in the game, just like you might lose yourself in a song. You know, you let it take you, you invest a bit of time in it, and then it takes you along a little bit more. And that's a very broad experience. It can mean a lot of things, but for instance, in Grand Theft Auto, just the sheer excitement of a chase, you know, you're reacting very quickly, you're blocking out sort of your everyday life and your problems and anything else you might be thinking about, and you're just in that, just for that kind of split couple of seconds, you're really enjoying yourself. Because you're driving a big blurry car.
For a split couple of seconds, you're really enjoying yourself.
Well, then the police normally shoot me. I'm not very good.
I like the idea. I suppose the other side of this would be have your motivations changed? Because I remember you being pretty good at those time trials on Mario Kart.
Yes, I am. I'm quite good, aren't I?
You were quite good at
Mario Circuit 1.
Yeah, you played that.
I throw down the gauntlet to you.
And was that because it was immersive or because you wanted to get better?
Because
you wanted to kick my ass.
I wanted to be good at it, yeah.
Was it to be good at it for to beat yourself? Or, I mean, was it competitive within yourself? Or was it competitive against me as I lost every time?
Well, I can only talk about that experience and then ask you to guide me along this brainy path. The specific experience with Mario Kart was just being able to see where I could have gone faster. I wasn't lost. I kind of saw where I had to go. So it's kind of like a little bit of a breadcrumb.
Yeah.
It's just, I could get, if I go across that rumble strip or if I use the speed up mushroom there. And of course the ghost helps with that as well. So I guess it's just, yeah. It's reaching for that experience, really.
We say Mario Kart, and you were very good at that Mario Kart Track 1, but I must confess that this wasn't what you played the most, as I recall.
Does this begin with R?
It does begin with R. Ridge Racer. it wasn't even in the original Ridge Racer. It was the re-release of Ridge Racer on the Ridge Racer 4, R4.
Yeah, which had the first, the arcade original Ridge Racer track.
Wash yourself, indeed.
I used to play that over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Me and Kate crazy.
Yeah, there was no reason for me to be playing as much as I would. There were other tracks.
I think it was because, like, you were just waiting for us all to get ready to go out clubbing or something, and that was all you did. We didn't listen to music. We just heard in the background the kind of techno of Ridge Racer. And
I used to play it for wash
yourself.
Yeah, I used to shout the lines, but I used to play it for, you know, you could be getting ready, I'd be playing Ridge Racer Track 1 over and over and over for maybe 2 hours. Yeah. I wasn't the only person
getting ready. It does not take me 2 hours to have a shower and get dressed.
No, okay, but we're all getting ready. And I got very good at it. I could power slide almost right next to the wall on most of the corners. I think I was just striving to do that perfect lap.
That's why we're having this, to get the perfect lap.
Yes!
To be all you could be.
To show off.
To show off. You realise none of us were that impressed.
No, I wasn't even that impressed. It was just, I'm not quite sure. That is a particular way that I play games, and I suppose what it comes back to is that I might not be able to answer the question per se, but I know that it's a particular type of experience that I enjoy within that, and that people play games for very, very different reasons. Do you have an answer to your question then, Brevniak?
I have my answer to my question. I have two answers to my question. One is that I'm sure it's subjective, and this is something I'm going to look into, and some of the reasons people play games when I write the article. My personal reasons, at least currently, generally because I want to see what's coming next. I am no longer a person that replays games that much, unless there's something specific I want to do or see. There's very few.
Does this relate to a strong narrative content in the game? Is that an important part for you now?
I'm not even sure that's it. It can be even less than that. I mean, something like Gears of War, I wouldn't say has a strong narrative, but I played right the way through Gears of War 2 because I wanted to see the next environment. I wanted to see the next kind of set piece, what was coming. But certainly a strong narrative will feature in that. I mean, something like Mass Effect was endlessly involving because of that, and I would continue to play it. But then I look at kind of like the competitive challenge to be as good as you can,
yeah,
kind of aspects, like you and Ridge Racer. And I've got like things like Ridge Racer Extreme and Bang.io, which was a biggie, because you play that and then you find a few levels that you really liked, and you go back and you play it again.
Yeah.
Just to get...
Maybe it's the little achievements that I like, then, you're talking about that, just kind of like bite-sized achievements. So,
yourself.
Yeah, which Nintendo are good at, I think.
Well, they do a really good job of... I mean, Mario Galaxy is a fantastic example, which is...
Mm-hmm.
They managed to create so many different worlds. Every time you jump into a new world, not only is there offering a new challenge, but it looks so completely different that it's just... It makes you, inspires you, drives you to see the next part, to see what's new, to see what's coming.
Yes.
A wonderful... beautiful thing.
I think Mario's always done that to a certain extent as well. I mean, that's a particularly beautiful example, but I think the tiny surprises in Mario that have always kind of been spread throughout the entire game are always brilliant, whether it be kind of sudden underwater level or generally just massive mushrooms with faces.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
Now, we say, I've posted this on a few blogs, and I had a lot of the answers that come back have been comical, but I'll give you an idea. The one that shocked me was that, especially when I posted it first, and a lot of the young...
So you ask people why they play games?
Yeah. A lot of the younger people who commented initially, especially, keep saying trophies and achievements, the metagame that we talked about on an earlier podcast way back on the site. And it was this kind of... the challenge outside the game to achieve points to show that you've done something within games, that you have a skill, that you are talented, I guess, at that game, or that you've reached a certain expertise within it.
Yes. I think it's important for some people to be good at games.
It is.
I don't think it was for us, but it is important to some people.
I think it was within us. This is the weird thing. When we were competitive with the person in the same room, and I think now it's shifted very much to the online space, so you don't necessarily... I knew you were better than me at Street Fighter, because you kept beating me. But if I was just going, randomly dropping into a line and being paired with anybody... I wouldn't necessarily know how good you were, and apart from that kind of meta score, that kind of thing outside the game, that people outside it could view, maybe that's a large part of why that's attracting people to it. And just to the person that said the thing that motivates them is my girlfriend.
What?
My girlfriend motivates him to play games. So, good luck to him.
your girlfriend?
Yeah.
As in Alex Dufos, your girlfriend?
Yeah. It's a your mama joke, but I guess...
According
to this, the guy's only 17, so maybe he thought that was a little bit...
It's actually very funny.
Yeah.
I should have said your mum.
But there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of things. I'm going to keep looking into this. This is really just a sounding block. I wanted to get your opinion. And
I'm going to think about this. Yes.
Anybody who wants, I mean, I we keep saying the name, but it's dofuss.net, dofuss.net. Like, you don't know what .net is. But if you listen to this and you have something that motivates you, it'd be great if you go onto the blog and just drop in under this podcast. What motivates you to play games? Because
your mum.
Yes, my mum. Ooh. That's about it. We're about ready to go. But the one thing I forgot, and we're doing it the wrong way around again. The prizes that I bought. And,
oh, God, there was a competition last week.
And nobody
has anyone entered?
No, nobody.
No.
I've got three Mario Kinder Eggs here. And currently I'll give them all to one person, apart from you.
Do you think, Alex, do you think that it could be because...
We did it at the end.
It's this sort of waiting outside of school with chocolate type thing, people might be scared of you?
Possibly. I've got two or three possible options. The two biggest ones is that, one, people don't want to give me their address and stuff. That's fine. Just email me just a message saying, I want the Kinder Eggs. And if you're the first person, I will ask you for your address. And if you don't want to give it to me, then you don't get the eggs. That's all it is. I don't mind. I will only ask the first person to mail me for their address. Or it might be that nobody ever gets to this point in the podcast because they've all decided it's shit. But I hope that's not the reason.
It's brilliant. It's very good. I mean, you know, we've done this twice now, so I don't think we've got a good view of how we're doing with this one. But I do think that since we've branched out into also retail news, that's a good thing. Yeah. So you're going to give them away. You're still going to give them away.
Yeah, I've got one for you, and I've got three more here that are waiting to go. And, yeah, should be. The chocolate isn't as good as a Kinder Egg, but the toys are Mario. I got two really bad ones. I've got the Green Turtle, which actually I love, and Daisy. Not Daisy, Pete. Yeah, Daisy. So I'm not too amped.
Are they just little figures? Do they do things?
They're just little figures. You put them together. They're not even as good as the coffee toys, the coffee Mario Karts that I got, because those are pulled back and go.
Oh, wow, really? Wow.
Yeah,
kind of that.
I bought some coffee and it came with a pullback, wind-up kind of Mario Kart toys, which was wicked. But, yes. Mail me if you want those. Please leave a comment on the site. Leave a comment on iTunes.
Yeah, comment on iTunes. Please.
It makes Darren very excited.
I'll do anything.
And you know what?
Validate my existence.
You know what? This podcast has recorded. So we'll be posting it tomorrow. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye!
Fuck. How long was... We just blew like an hour and a half.
I thought that was quite a good one.
It was a really good one.
Remember that bit where you did the ad-libbed rap for sort of 12 minutes straight?
Yeah.
And you were able to do it. Yeah.
I'm still impressed that you managed to do sit-ups for a good half hour of it before you threw up.
The whole time, yeah, you could barely hear it. You couldn't even hear it when I was just did a little bit of sick.
Yeah.
On myself, because I'd done so many sit-ups. Oh, we're just never going to be able to do the rapping sit-up podcast again.
Shit. Oh.
So, tomorrow?
Yeah. Same time. When are you free tomorrow?
Same time is fine.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah, let's do that then.
Well, at least we know what we're talking about. Gun rags.